talking about the yellow book and how you got involved with it, and you were saying you couldn't remember how it happened, but you were saying, had I looked at it?
Well, I only got hold of it on Saturday, and I see I'm down as on one of the committees, or among committee members, and I can't remember which I was on. But it is pathetic that so much of it is intensely relevant, and nothing has been, hardly anything has been done since it was published. It really would do for a...
It was a marvellous
he really could have written it today.
No, I quite agree. But you were the only... I'm just trying to remember, were you the only woman on it? I can't quite remember. We easily find that out, anyway.
Yes. I think Lady Leighton may have been.
She was, yes.
Wasn't she?
Yes, I think so.
But I don't remember.
Anyway, you were quite heavily involved in the Liberal Party.
Yes, you see, I was on the executive and then president of the women's section. Then I was, and I must check this up, but I was, shall we say, highly regarded. I was on the national executive.
So if anyone ought to have got into Parliament, it was you, in a way, because you were right in the middle of the machine.
Right, and well trained, you see. I knew not only what of the... I was speaking on what was the current Liberal programme, but I'd also the what you might call organisational and technical knowledge.
Yes. The trouble is that you chose the wrong party, in a way.
I chose the wrong party, yes. To the great comfort of my home life.
But a major problem for women is that they aren't normally in the centre of the party machine. You were in the centre of the party machine, but you the wrong party. I mean, it's very unfortunate, isn't it?
Yes. And, of course, it would have... completely stopped my international work, and I was very keen on that.
Would you put that first? I mean, did you put that first, really?
Well, I had no choice.
No.
Really, I was badly wanted on the international, and I wasn't wanted in Parliament, so I didn't really have any difficulty.
I mean, if you'd had to choose, would you have chosen being in Parliament to being in the International Alliance?
Well, I think...
Perhaps that's not a fair question.
I think I should have had to answer that according to which year.
Yes, yes, of course. Yes.
You see, by the time I'd got so involved in international affairs, I had to become the president... I don't suppose I'd have thrown that over.
No. I agree, it depends on which year you're talking about.
The year of the Rome Congress.
Yes.
Now, I wonder...
1923, isn't that?
Yes. You see, by that time...
You're really deeply involved.
I was too deeply and too interested. By that time, you see, I was in contact with the women. I think it was near 40 countries. Yeah. Well, you don't give up that kind of thing.
No. What did it ever occur to you, has it ever occurred to you, actually, to go Conservative or Labour? Or have you always felt that you should stick with the party?
I've never had any instinct to go Conservative. Uh, liberal, I mean Labour, I intensely dislike what is getting worse and worse, and that's their class approach. You see, you can't see an article or a speech that doesn't drive home this class. And there was a terrible article in one of the leading papers, why the class war must be kept going. Well, you see, actually, economic and other circumstances have largely destroyed the class cleavage in principle. What would my, I ask you, would my grandmothers have said if when the clock winder came in here and I said, oh, Mr. Wood, can you take me to the village and to the bus? And he said, you'll be too early. Come in and have a glass of sherry with my wife. I mean, it would have been inconceivable. And he was delighted because, as a boy, he was the first to touch. He was first allowed to touch my father's chronometer. And I think it was the only one in the parish. So he would have done anything. But you see, I mean, isn't it silly?
No, I quite agree.
When I go up to town, I'd appeared in the local paper or something or other, and when I came back, the ticket collector said, well, lady, I must take him out sometime.
Well, that would have been regarded as very impertinent.
It would have been frightful.
But, so anyway, you never really... I mean, it's the class side of the Labour Party that prevented you ever from really being affected by that.
Of course, I enormously admired the women, the early women in the Labour movement who did so much.
Like Margaret Bonfield or Annie Wilkinson.
I liked them both, and we both came a lot together. Now, who was the first one you met, said Margaret?
Margaret Bonfield.
Margaret Bonfield. Wasn't it she, I think, who brought in the bill which set free the shop girls?
Oh, that's, yes.
Wasn't it? That was a marvellous act.
Yes. How, so the next one is... Well, it has Hendon is another of your constituencies. I can't remember which year you stood in Hendon, but how did you get involved there?
Hendon. Oh, I got known slightly in Hendon through the, I think, the Town Swimmers Guild. I think one of the first I went to help found was in Hendon, and also St. Gilda's Green in Hendon.
Yes,
where my sister lived up there.
Yes, I see.
And I got known to the Literary Society, and and my sister was Labour, became Labour.
And then there's Hemel Hempstead now.
Hemel Hempstead, oh, no. Oh, yes, but there I had enormous backing from a great Free Church leader. Wish I didn't forget names.
That
so
doesn't
bad.
Matter, we can always find out the names.
But he was one of the great Free Church leaders and asked me to go down and stand there. And he appeared on my first platform, and I was able to say, well, I've got two people on the platform, And if everyone else between 90 and 19 joined them, I should get in. Oldest and youngest members.
You were yourself, in fact, a Church of England. You are a Church of England person, aren't you?
Yes.
How could you attract the Free Church leader like that, then, do you think?
Oh, they didn't. They stuck together to get what they wanted. But there was no antagonism. I mean, there was a different pressure of interest.
Because there were always quite a lot of liberal Anglicans anyway, weren't there, even in the 19th century?
Oh, yes.
So no real problem.
Yes. No, they weren't divided on religious teaching in schools and that. What they did resent was their form of worship was completely excluded.
Yes.
In the church, schools. But, no. Grassroots, so to speak. You might have a very particular parish church, but he was quite generally quite content to let the other minister come in. They hadn't the right to come in. But, and you see, people had to be married and bedded in the Anglican Church because there was nothing else in the villages. So, and it was the rule among Free Church families that on the Sunday after the burial, they all came to church as a tribute of thanks and respect to the man who'd buried their relative. You see, I mean, that was the normal people.
It's only in some parts of the country that you get really fierce.
Well, you get really fierce. Yes.
Did it ever hinder you in the International Alliance that it was well known you were a liberal? I mean, would it have been
no,
better
we accepted. We said we were all party, and our only condition for membership was that you should be a national organisation admitting all women of every kind, and that was, and believe in one or more objects of the alliance. So it was a very open organisation. And the only thing in the early years you had to be really keen on the bother to join was the suffrage. Nothing else.
So that was never really a problem either?
No, that was never a problem.
Yeah. How on earth did you get involved then in Bury St Edmunds? I mean, that was an extraordinary venture. Really. It's the most interesting of all your
yes.
campaigns.
Well, that was really because I was so keen to help Everett. And you see, he'd been away from any practical result. And it was getting more and more important during wartime to get some help to widows and so on. So I said, oh, this shouldn't be, and is not admitted to be, a party issue. This is a social thing. And it's badly needed now, and there's no reason why we shouldn't fight for it. And of course, some of the leading liberals did come down and speak for me.
Yes, it must have been difficult, though, because it must have seemed to a lot of people that you were being unpatriotic.
Yes, breaking the party truce. Oh, yes. It had a very disagreeable side, though actually being a soldier's wife.
That helped.
You see, let up that I wasn't patriotic. And a lot of people had been looking forward to Beveridge, something coming out of Beveridge, and the government had shilly-shallied and shilly-shallied and wouldn't give time and all that kind of thing. So that really in the... and I was pulling the Labour and Liberal people together, you see. I was a joint candidate, really. I don't think they... I don't think they let me call myself. But after a long speech together, they decided that they would support me officially in their own, with their own organisation.
Did you ever think you'd get in there?
Of going...
Did you ever think you'd get in?
No.
It was difficult to know, because there hadn't been an election since 1935.
No, and the corruption. And, you know, it really was sickening, because it was wartime, and therefore all the organisations had, as elsewhere, turned over, and new things, you know, canteen at the station, all sorts of, all the ordinary war work had been set going by local initiative. And at the first annual meeting, the Conservative agent put up a list of people to be executive, and they were. And the original people who'd founded it, who stopped, because everything had to be kept under the Conservative Party hand. It was... I thought I knew something about politics, but my word, that's a lot. And then at the other end of the constituency, all the racing people,
Newmarket.
All the Newmarket employees were kept on work until 9 o'clock the night of the election, so they couldn't possibly vote.
No, it's a 19th century situation, isn't it, in a way?
No, it really didn't alter very much from Dickens' account of an election there.
Did you actually know Beveridge before you stood?
Oh, yes, I'd worked off. I shouldn't have been surprised if it had been a book by Beveridge, I mean, on a special point, because I was frightfully keen on what he was doing. And I don't suppose he wouldn't want my kind of help. I mean, he was, you know, quite different. But I would have given it to him and knew him quite well, he and his wife.
Where did you come across them then, Dame?
Well, in all these party things, you
see. Yes, I see, yes.
Just as one keen party member was another. And he was clever enough to know that if we were part, if we were on the executive of the Women's Liberal, you could... you know, help in a campaign.
So that was your last election, wasn't it?
Yes.
Really, what if you feel like it? I mean, it's now 4:10. Did you feel like just saying a bit about how your career sort of evolved after 1940, generally? Because we've talked about quite a lot of detail up to 1940. But, I mean, in a way, most people would say, well, that's enough, I've done my bit now. But, in fact, your career's carried on, hasn't it, really, ever since? What are the main lines of it since, from the Second World War onwards until now, really? Where have your energies mainly gone? What have you been trying to do?
Well, we've been here. Well, you see, I came down, we got our house blasted in London, and we had already this as a halfish size as a country house where my husband had, in the war, had been the assistant advocate general, and it was time that he really more resigned. I'm afraid he ought to have had the decoration quite as much as I had about it. But the establishment was against him. He was doing, you know, all the war cases, appeals, appeal tribunal, for the three services and the land girls, and I thought there was another one.
The WVS has been away. But he was a liberal as well, was he? I should have asked you.
That's rather amusing. He came off a most terrifically conservative family, except perhaps terrific is the wrong adjective, because they were, sticking them up, they never did anything for the party. But you know, they were rarely, their interest was racing and tennis, and my husband rode a horse picked by himself for the big law race. And very pleased that he picked the horse himself for a song and won this race. And where he came from must have been a foundling, because his he loved racing, he loved riding, and but his hobbies were Bach and
playing.
He couldn't play well. I mean, only very, very amateur tourist, but delighted, and philosophy. But he was twice, which is unique, made twice master of the Draper's Company, and did a tremendous lot for their education and their welfare work. You know, they had. So that was.
But did you make a liberal of him then?
Well, you would never guess who made a liberal of him. A Jesuit padre arguing in the mother of France.
In the First World War? Good heavens. He came back from the war a liberal?
A liberal.
And stayed a liberal?
And stayed as liberal, oh yes.
The Jesuit was arguing in favour of liberalism, wasn't he?
The Jesuit was arguing in favour. The Jesuit padre. It isn't a man to whom one would naturally go.
Not at all, no. But did you have to help your husband a lot in his career? I mean, he had to, to put it crudely, he had to wear a lot.
He had to put up with a lot.
Did you have to help him a lot?
Well, I couldn't really, you see. His work was at the bar. I could encourage him enthusiastically over all the work he did for the Bach choir, the Bach cantata choir, and so on. We were invited over to a special visit to Germany because of his all he'd done to spread Bach in this country. I mean, it was quite a compliment to be asked over to one of the big Bach festivals. But I couldn't accept insofar as one can help as a hostess. I mean, the Drapers liked me.
Yes, oh, I'm sure they did, yes.
But I couldn't give him, no, I wish I...
But because, I mean, as a barrister...
Look at all those peasants, aren't they nice?
A barrister doesn't have... I don't know what a barrister's life's like, but I suppose there isn't a lot that you have to do apart from entertaining, is there, really? I mean,
no, there isn't, you see. He has his very special hours at the temple, and you can make it as comfortable for him to get back and to and fro. And it's such technical stuff that even if I'd wanted to be a secretary, I wouldn't have done as well as his own clerk.
Did you actually have servants between the wars, Dame Margery? I mean,
we always had one maid of all work.
Living in?
We're living in a house, a garden, a full-time maid, and holidays in Scotland. There was generally some more on a basis of 500 a year.
And that was all the way through between the wars. So that makes it easier, doesn't it, in a way?
Yes.
You just had one living in maid, really. No charwomen, no gardener, no chauffeur, or anything like that.
No. And, no, just when... Then we occasionally, later on, blossomed out. And, yes, I won a nice success. I was poor law guardian in the terrible depression of 1933. And a young man...
In Wandsworth, is that?
In Wandsworth, yes. The young man came up for the dole and said, oh, can't you find me some work? And I said, well, if you were an American boy, you'd take any jobs that came your way. What have you been? In a shipping firm, junior clerk. Well, I said, what about, if you'd been an American, you'd have taken a job. He said, I'll take anything you offer. All right, I said, you shall come to my house and be trained as a butler. And so Michael always called him after that, Bob the Butler. He made my first, radio. When you made them at home with the cat's whiskers.
Did he really? So he became a butler, did he? I mean, he became a butler, did he?
Yes.
For you, and then...
No. I just trained him and sent him off as a footman. He emigrated to Canada or US, Canada, and he's only just died this last autumn. He and the French, you see, they must have been at the top of the social scale in Canada because he was spared by a French chef. They each had their cars. And you should have seen him when he came over. Wonderful.
So, I mean, you can work together quite well, you and your husband, really, each having your career.
We each had our career, but shared. I was once asked by a young man or woman, I forget which, what do you think is central to a happy marriage? And I said, like the same people, like the same holidays.
Still, I diverted you. We were just talking about really what's happened since the Second World War.
Yes.
You've really been involved with the Alliance mainly, have you?
Yes, really.
Is that your main line of things, really?
That's been until... And now, of course, I'm succeeded. I've been I gave up the presidency, but we kept the... Yes, and at first we let the office wander with the president, but it really wasn't. We kept the paper here because it was in English, mostly. And since then, we've never had a long-term president. We've changed at the end of 3 or 6 years.
And you, what's your function in the Alliance been, really? Just a sort of goddess above?
Yes.
Or, I mean,
yes, you're not... on president, you see, which means you do, you go if you're wanted and if you can. And
you help out if asked, sort of thing.
Yes, and you see, at congresses, you're very welcomed, especially by the National Association, you see.
So that's been
your... known you before.
Yes. And you have, in fact, been to most of the congresses, haven't you, since?
I've only... You know, since 1904, I've missed Budapest. I've missed, I think, one committee in Geneva when my husband was suddenly taken into London Hospital for an operation. And I've missed this last. So it's only two congresses since 1904.
Pretty good, yes. But, I mean, that's been your main activity,
really. Yes, that's
really.
Been my main
You had no more candidatures for Parliament.
No more candidature. I've taken up, as my parents before me, local interests, you know, WI and...
Because you took that up from the very beginning.
Yes, yours is really, I went back to it since we...
Can you just tell me what you were saying at lunch, how the local WI was created here and how your mother got involved with it?
Well, Mrs. Watt from Canada came over to do, to try and get Women's Institutes founded in Sussex. And I almost sure it would be my mother who at Danehill, if anybody took the initiative, took it. And she came and founded it. And, of course, my mother was asked, you know how those things happen in the country, was asked to be president. Her mother, very wisely, said, this is a new movement. What you want is not an old woman as a president. But a new, ask Mrs. Hardy. Well, now, Mrs. Hardy was a much younger but corresponding lady, the other end of the village, you see. And in the village of that time, if Mother didn't do a thing, Mrs. Harley was supposed to do it. And she did, and died very tragically in childbirth a very short time afterwards. I don't think I shall ever forget the sun. We'd been to see her, and she said, oh, the doctor's coming to see me, so I won't ask him to stay. And we heard the funeral bells at 8 next morning. Mm. We couldn't believe it.
And so your mother took
it on? So Mother took it on, you see, and kept it on for as long as she cared.
That was the Horsted Canes?
No, Danehill, you see, the village just over on the other crest.
Yes, I see.
Well, not on the crest, but on the valley.
So she really got started one of the very earliest
WIs. We were the fourth, something like that.
What did it do for Danehill, the WI, do you think?
Oh, it was the first organisation to recognise married women as individuals and not purely dependent.
In their own right, you mean?
As women, really. They were the only organisation to cater for them.
In what way? You mean for recreation or...
Yes, it had a threefold program. Now, let me see. I've forgotten which came first. There was crafts and agriculture. There was something else. Now I wonder how they divided it. But it was really three. I don't think they called it citizenship. It was something like local interest. But, you know, it was the first thing that was out. There were plenty of church. Every church had its woman group, and the political parties had their group. But there was nothing to give help or drama. Yes,
Drama was one of the three.
Mm. And what was called the social half hour.
So really it's just important because women are in complete control of it, whereas the other things you mentioned, the party and the religion, men
was at the top, you see.
Yes, yes, or it's serving some male purpose.
Yes, and wherever they met, they were, as I say, feeding.
Yes. So really you think it was a very good thing for the Dane Hill women
it's been a tussle ever since to keep it above a pleasant Sunday afternoon or pleasant tea party, you know. It's very difficult because it's much easier to run a tea party than it is to get hold of serious lecturers and so on. Same thing with the Towns Women's Guild.
Yes, yes. But so anyway, when you came back here, you involved yourself in the WI a bit more.
Yeah, promptly.
What else then, Marjorie? What other local things then?
I was put on the county, of course, almost at once, you see.
The county council, you mean?
No, the council organisation of the WI.
Ah, oh, I see.
But
yes.
I'd come off that.
Mm.
What I'm most interested in, Dane Hill Village wanted to celebrate its 25 years as an independent parish, breaking off from a much older one. Quite a friendly reorganization. And they've done a most marvellous historical society.
Okay. And you're involved with that?
They made me president.
Did they really?
Well, I think really, because, you see, it's now like so many villages, they're the locals. And the very old ones knew my mother, knew me. As small children, I used to go into the school and teach whenever there was a gap, you see, and so on. And then there are the wealthy retired from London, and some commuters, so it's rather far. We're much nicer, nearer than they are, because we have Hayward's Heath station. And now...
So you're quite keen on that. What about Townsman's Guilds? I suppose there aren't any Townsman's
Guilds.
Yes,
but this is so amazing, because they asked me as president, because there would be no competition. I'm sure they did. I mean, they didn't tell me. But you see, if you have an obvious person whom all the original inhabitants know, and whose family took a lead, there's no doubt about who they would have. and the new people don't know any better.
Yes, yes. So you're non-controversial. But what's your maxim about not resigning? About resigning? You told me at lunch.
About
resigning.
Oh, yes. Go where they want you to stay, and stay when they... And don't stay until they want you to go. Well, I suffered awfully in the Liberal Party. Lady Carlisle insisted on being re-elected president year after year, was fanatical for Asquith, which was all right, and a violent anti-suffragist, which was not so good. And nobody liked to stand against this old lady because they said it would break her heart if she was no longer president. So at our first committee meeting after her regretted death, I got up and I said, now, let's look at what's good for the association. We shall hurt no one's feelings by electing a new president. And I suggest no president takes it for more than 2 years running, which has been the rule since, except when I broke it.
It's a great art, isn't it, knowing when to bow out, really?
It is, because, you see, you can't, I don't think anybody, I think perhaps, but you can't help having qualms as to whether it will be as well run in this respect or that respect. I mean, you don't think the job perfect, but when you see a thing running smoothly, it's quite difficult to decide, I think, when you leave off.
Because people never say go, do they?
But they never say go, at least not... certainly not after you've been there for a long time.
No. Because that's one of the main problems with the whole, with any organisation.
Oh, yes.
People hang on too long.
People hang on.
I think, and they don't get young people to join and so on.
No.
So that's splendid. So really, you've had a sort of a new lease of life at the local level.
At the local level,
again,
yes.
Going back to your childhood, in a way, or to your, as a young
man. Yes, see, my home was just on the other ridge, and all this land was ours.
Do you feel very much identified with Sussex as a person? I mean, is Sussex important to you?
Well, no, I suppose not. But I was very glad. I was so glad to be able to come back to where my family was known, because I have that country feel, you know. And people here would accept me as one of them. Of course, before any of these other people came, but they're working. We've got a very good bunch who, from the first, some of them are quite clever people, intellectual, I mean, as well as professional. But they elected me, they accepted me, I imagine it was a local suggestion, they accepted me as president, but chose a real working Sussex man running a small coal business as chairman.
I see, yes.
So you see,
so you're a goddess,
the
again.
Village is being, then one of the ex-commuters, it is the treasurer.
So
you see, it's a very clever balance, really.
What about liberal activity? You've been active locally in the Liberal Party, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, but we've run it so badly. And now, owing to reorganisation, to my great disgust, I've been thrown into another and quite unknown constituency of, we're just at the border.
But you have been active in the local party?
Yes, yes, I'd taken. But that was in East Grinstead. I worked hard for any candidate until old age rather puts a stop on it.
Well, I haven't read the Jus Suffragi after about 1942, so I don't know why you withdrew as president. I mean, it seemed to me you withdrew as president rather early. Did you feel that there should only be a certain... nobody should stand as president for very long, or what made you give it up?
I really thought we were getting so many more new societies in, it would be better to have somebody from another country, really.
Mm. And you've done it since 1923, hadn't you? So I suppose you've done it on two.
I've had the 25 years, I think I had it.
Yeah, so really.
Mrs. Chapman Catt had it for 25, and I must have been going on for something like that, you see. And then I felt now really, we'd got the suffrage, the problems were really different. Mm.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
You see, we'd already... immediately after the First War, you see, quite a lot of the countries coming to our first post-war Congress in Geneva had already been given the vote as a reward for war services, you see. So the whole setup had altered from a very... easy to run with one object society into one where half the members still had no vote and the other half had, so we had to adjust all our committees.
So looking back over the whole, all your career, what's the most interesting part of your career really, would you say? I mean, the alliance really is the most interesting, I suppose, from your point of view, isn't it? What do you think is the most important thing in your career that you've done?
Well, I've done some things which have pleased me very much. Single-handed... I got the vote for the women of Turkey.
Yes, I remember you telling me about that.
The Honourable Edith Littleton and I of Geneva got the traffic in women, in girls, from Cyprus to Palestine stopped. It wasn't traffic, it really was, not as bad, but it was the sale of girls to Arab communities in Palestine without any protection or supervision or anything.
So those two things you're proud of? Those two things you're proud of.
I'm proud of those two. Then, after years of waiting, I got Baldwin to raise the age of marriage from canonical to 16. And that was we were having deplorable stories of girl marriage in India, and the Indian delegate at Geneva, when I tackled him about it, said, well, your age is 12. So, the same as theirs. So, We then, after that, we all put pressure on to have the age of marriage right. And this was to thank Baldwin for giving us the vote to big party. And I said, I'm meeting the Indian women in Berlin in a few weeks' time, and if I try and help them with raising the age of marriage, they'll have to tell me that ours is 12. So he turned to whoever was his aide-de-camp at the moment and said, make a note of that. And before I got to Berlin, we'd raised the age of marriage. Mm-hmm. So I am pleased about that.
Mm. And of course, as you pointed out, I think last time we met, it was useful being president of the International Alliance because it gave you additional weight for doing things
a pressure, you see.
Anyway.
Yes, that was really, it was very, I think, very useful. Now, I wonder, did I tell you about getting the nurses registered?
No.
Oh, well, that was a campaign that I think Eleanor Rathbone and I can't remember the nurse, but we fought hard for it. And when I went into the, which is the big eye hospital here.
Oh, not Moorfields, you mean?
Moorfield, yes. The, I told the matron on one of her, you know, formal verdicts, that I'd helped her get that through. And I could remember the name of the woman then. And she beamed at me and said, oh, I was her favorite pupil, and here's the bead she left me when she died.
That,
I need hardly tell you that I got all the attentions out of the crowd.
Well, that's good. Is there anything else you feel like sort of saying about your career before we stop, then, Marjorie? I mean, any other point you'd like to make while the machine's still on? I mean, anything that stands out that we haven't talked about?
Did I tell you how all the things that were said about women currently when I was a girl have been proved quite wrong?
Such as what? I mean,
women can't manage money. Women can't drive motor cars. Women
can't work together.
Can't work together, are always catty, are always jealous of each other. Can't organise. Well, of course, when we fill the Albert Hall and put up 1,000, two of those, and of course, I think what perhaps surprised us all, if we were conscious of it at all, and that was the intense loyalty that women can have to one another.
It's important to organise even if you don't get what you're organising for.
Absolutely. And alters the whole spirit of a community. I don't say they're all perfect.
Well, let's give you a rest. You're going off to London anyway, aren't you, sir?
Yes.